Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are live at Charlestown Casino. We're in the sports book at Hollywood Casino. Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell. We are here, Chris, and we are gambling. At least I am gambling as the NCAA tournament is underway. That's something you can do. We invite you to come join us here at the sports book where no one is paying attention to us because there is gambling happening.
I'm not gambling specifically, but I'm highly encouraging you.
How do you gamble unspecifically? That seems like a losing venture. I don't know how that works. I feel like that is a terrible idea.
I mean, that's a fair point. I am not the master of grammar, as everybody probably knows. But what I'm about to say is, while I don't know what I'm doing in that regard, and I freely admit that, despite having lived in Las Vegas for 2 years and doing a radio show 5 days a week out of Mandalay Bay's Racing Sportsbook at one point, I highly encourage you guys to come on down and have some fun and check out what they have going on here at Hollywood Casino. They've treated us great so far. So glad to be here. Good to be with you, Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Good to be with you as well. In case anyone cares, which they don't, they care about their own bets, I am on Vermont to cover. I'm on Belmont on the money line. That is going to anger a bunch of Maryland people. That's fine. Either you'll be happy or I'll have money. One of us will be joyous.
Wait a second. Maryland people might be mad at something you say about their basketball program?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just betting against them.
Well, guess what? You're saying they suck or they're going to lose or
that
it's one and done, and that means you're against them.
Sure. Yes.
At least for today, which is fine. It's America, Jack. You can do whatever the hell you
want. It's not personal. It's financial.
I think they're going to win. I think Maryland's going to win. Ugly kind of end to the year. They've got a couple of days here to regroup, even though they did not know who they were going to play, Belmont, until about 11 o'clock on Tuesday night. Remember, Belmont goes after they beat that, or after they win that game on Tuesday night in Dayton, they've got to go down to Jacksonville for a 3 o'clock-ish tip today.
Yep.
So that's a quick turnaround. Again, it's been done before. I got it. To me, there is absolutely no rhyme or reason, no excuse in the world. I don't care how many wins this guy's got at Belmont. I don't care. Maryland has to win this game. If they do not, Craig, I think Mark Turgeon is probably gone, whether it's his own doing or whether it's his doing or whether it's their doing.
Yeah, no, I think that could be definitely the case. That'll be a game based off pace. Belmont plays the fastest pace or one of the fastest paces in the country. That game gets going up and down. They're going to have a really good chance. Also, I am very invested in this Vermont-Florida State game.
So I've
got a survivor pool. Florida State is one of the two teams I picked today. So far, so terrible. Vermont is up 7-2.
Well,
it is early, thank goodness. But please, Florida State, pull your head out of wherever it is right now. I need you.
So can I share something? Probably way too early. I did one bracket.
Okay.
It is the media challenge bracket with the Capitals media. I filled it out this morning before I came out here.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I really even looked at a bracket. I picked Florida State to win the whole damn thing, and they're down 7-2 early.
Why did you do that?
I don't know.
See this gentleman right here sitting in front of us?
Yes.
See the hat he's wearing?
It's a Duke hat.
That's the team you should have picked.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, look, while 75% of America is going to pick Duke, you know the Rooster. I have to be different. I have to walk a different line than everyone else.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How's that going for you?
Well, I'm here with you. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for me. I don't know if it's a good thing for the radio station.
I don't know. What about me? Where do I fit in this equation?
Well, I'm just saying. I'm here with you. Maybe you hate me and you don't want to be stuck with me for the next 4.5 hours.
Oh, we're stuck together. We will talk Redskins coming up in just a bit. There has been this narrative about something Doug Williams said about the scouting departments,
yes.
Familiarity with scheme.
and it has gotten out of control. I would like to address it at 4 o'clock as someone who covers the team day in and day out, as someone who knows members of the scouting department, and as someone who knows the scouting process very specific to Ashburn. I would like to talk about that coming up when it is time for the Skins at 4 o'clock. We will get into some of the games and some of the lines specifically as well coming up in our next segment at 2:30. Eric, who is the head of the sportsbook here at Hollywood Casino, is going to hop on over by the table, and we will discuss some of what is going on, of course, between us and Juan back in the studio. We will keep you updated on all the games, Hoffman and Russell, here on Chad Dukes versus the World. We'd like to start with the little Redskins as well, and specifically the quarterback situation. Just kind of an update on where everybody is, quite literally, geographically, as pro days are underway. Who is where, who is watching what, and how are these quarterbacks doing? In Columbus, Ohio yesterday, Kevin O'Connell, the Redskins offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, was there along with Bruce Allen and Jay Gruden to watch Dwayne Haskins' pro day. Today, right here in the state of West Virginia, Will Greer had his pro day and apparently put on a show the night after he had sushi, yes, sushi, with Jay Gruden, which is fun. Would you pick Jay as a sushi guy?
No.
Which of those two would you have pegged more likely to go to a sushi dinner?
Well, Will Greer but
or Jay Gruden?
Yeah, Will Greer, just because he's like this kind of, I don't know, he's got this image of kind of being a little bit of a wild child, right, which is what brought him to West Virginia. And yet he's settled down and he's married and he's got kids and all that stuff. And he's had a family for a while. So, yeah, I would take a sophisticated palate that it's required to have with sushi for Will Greer, even knowing just the bare minimum based on the Jay Gruden that I've known for the last 5.5 years, 5 years. Yeah, I guess it's a little over 5 years now.
As we're having this discussion about sophisticated palates, I looked over at Bear, and Bear is shoving pizza in his face.
Yeah, there is nothing sophisticated about Bear's palate.
There was great irony that happened in my head there.
Except all I know is between the cigarette smoke and the food that they're eating, it's just creating this interesting cacophony of stuff.
Cool. Good sell, Chris. Good sell.
Just saying.
So I do think this is interesting and important to kind of point out what's important here and what's not with who is it, what pro day. The other obvious big name here is Kyle Smith, the Redskins director of college scouting, who will be at Missouri's pro day tomorrow, and he will be at Duke's pro day and NC State's pro day next week to get eyes on Daniel Jones, and then Ryan Finley of NC State. So these are arguably the five to six best quarterback prospects in the draft. As Kyle already hit Oklahoma's pro day with Kyler Murray.
Right.
You got this triumvirate there yesterday at Ohio State with Haskins. And then you have the three that we just mentioned, Greer, Locke, and Finley, all being hit. But I also think it's important to realize that we're at a point where you're only learning so much. They've already watched all the game tape multiple times. They've got a draft board pretty much set. At this point, you do want to see them throw in person, because how a ball comes off a quarterback's hands, I will say, is one of the things in person, especially up close, that from a scouting perspective, I think really matters. And the example I always use in the story I always tell for this is going back to seeing Jared Goff throw for the first time. So this is week 2, 2017, Redskins at Rams, beautiful, sunny, Southern California day, essentially the opposite of the weather today. In the D.C. and out here in West Virginia, as we're again live at the Hollywood Casino.
Don't
at the
let that stop you from coming out here, though.
No, absolutely not. The weather's the same as it always is indoors. Not raining. But it's this beautiful day, and I remember just watching Goff warm up and throw, and the ball just flew out of his hands different than Kirk Cousins, the Redskins quarterback at the time. Or anybody else that I had seen throw. And it literally took me one throw to go, oh, that's why he was the number one pick in the draft. And so for these guys who, especially for Kevin and Jay, former quarterbacks themselves, for Kyle, who played wide receiver in college, Doug Williams, to whatever level he's involved in some of this, which we'll talk more about later, a former quarterback, for these guys to see a quarterback throw in person, I actually think does matter. And, of course, speaks to more of how you are as a thrower compared to how you are as a quarterback, which are two very different things.
Very.
But to evaluate the throwing skill set in person, I do think can move these guys a little bit up and down on the board.
Yeah, I think it's always important to get as many different looks and as much of information as you possibly can get in your file, whether it be at the Senior Bowl, whether it be at the Combine, whether it be at individual pro days, whether it be at visits to the facility. And we assume, right, because this is how it was reported, that Haskins was going to meet with the Redskins. We assume that will be at Redskins Park. They can also meet again in Columbus. However, it would stand to reason, being that Bruce J. And Kevin O'Connell were in Columbus yesterday for his pro day, it would stand to reason that they're going to bring him to Ashburn. They get 30 visits, right? I mean, obviously.
You get 30 visits, and you also get to bring them into your facility.
Absolutely.
Right?
Hey, so this is where
you'd be. This is where you'd exist.
Sure.
Let's evaluate you on our turf.
Absolutely. But here's the point. What I think we should avoid, and what I think is going to be really hard for Redskins fans, media, you, me, what we do, Grant, Danny, all the whole radio station, what is going to be really difficult is reading too much into all of these various reports, right? We know what we know. Jay Gruden is at West Virginia for Will Greer's pro day and others. Yesterday they were in Columbus, Ohio for Dwayne Haskins' pro day and others. Don't forget, there are other players, believe it or not, that are certainly of interest. Terry McAuliffe, Debo Samuel, all those guys. They are there for that particular pro day, right? Great. That does not mean, when you combine that with a Jason Lockenfora report, that does not mean that the Redskins are definitely going to do that, or that's not a smokescreen, or that that is the right or the wrong information, or that's what you should lock in on, is my point. Going back to why they do all of this evaluation, Craig, and again, you can probably speak more to this because you get to travel to the Senior Bowl and the Combine and all this stuff. I never really did, if I'm being totally transparent and honest, either at the Evil Empire or my 1 year with 106.7 on the beat. I never really got to travel to any of that stuff. But to me, I think the most data you can get, the most kind of different perspectives, if that makes sense, that you can get, never hurts you. But again, you should not read too much into just because Jay and Bruce showed up in Columbus yesterday.
That's Chris Russell. I'm Craig Hoffman here on the Fan In for Chad today. And okay, so that begs the question, what do we know? I know some stuff. I've talked to people. That's my day job, is to talk to people around this organization. And I'll tell you right now, I'd be stunned if they trade up.
I'm with you.
That is the way that the people that I talk to in that organization think about their roster right now is that they need a lot of different players, and that no one quarterback is going to change their fortunes. Now, if a guy they like is on the board at 15, that becomes a different conversation. You're not giving up assets for that. It depends on who else they're passing up. If they love Brian Burns out of Florida State as an edge rusher, and they think he's way better than the quarterback, they're going to take Brian Burns.
Correct, as they should.
Right. They're going to take the best player on their board. But it doesn't mean that the best player on their board, when they evaluate for scheme and positional value, they think they get, you know, let's say it is Daniel Jones, right? Or let's say it's Dwayne let's say Dwayne Haskins falls in this draft. And all of a sudden, Dwayne Haskins is available at 15. And they've looked at Dwayne Haskins and said, we think he can be good in our system. They think he fits the scheme, if you will.
Are you making fun of anybody in particular?
No, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying, you know, how things work. That's how you evaluate football players. Wait. Do they fit in the scheme? Because football players aren't out there making stuff up willy-nilly.
You mean you don't evaluate football players in underwear and spandex?
I mean, it's part of the evaluation.
Part of the evaluation.
Really, the outfit doesn't have much to do with it, but that's a different story. I don't know why you had to phrase it that way.
I'm just trying to paint a word picture, that's all.
You did. So you have this guy on the board in Haskins, and you think he can really be a good player for you moving forward, right, and you like him. Yeah, they might absolutely take him. But the idea that they're going to move up, and I know what Lockenfora said, and you should go listen to it. He was on with Grant and Danny at 1 o'clock today. If you want to go back, check the podcast, please, grantanddanny.com/audio. Do it. But, and I'm not even disputing what he's been told about the Redskins maybe in some corners of the organization wanting to trade up.
Correct.
Especially if ownership is pushing for, we need a guy, we need
Absolutely. A
guy. And Haskins is not only a guy, but a local guy.
That's a big connection here. That's
sure.
a big thing.
And that'd be a great story if he works. You want to know what happens if he's not good? then you and have a not good not quarterback. Good. Yeah. And so it's not like you're going to go out and just draft the guy for the story. It's not like you're just going to go out and draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback. If they draft Dwayne Haskins, it's because they thought Dwayne Haskins was good.
Well, you hope that's what they think. You know that that certain people in the building would have different opinions, right? But ultimately, what if the only two people that ultimately matter in that building usurp everyone?
Well,
that's the problem.
Here's how that would happen. It would be Dan giving a directive to Bruce, and Bruce operating on that directive. It's really one person's opinion.
Well, that's fine, but Bruce carries it out.
That person has not pushed anything like that since Robert. Like, Dan, if you talk to people around that building, and I know this is not what people want to hear because they want to think that he's playing evil puppet master at all times, but, like, Dan hasn't done that. Dan knows that he's hired, like, Dan knows Kyle Smith is good at his job as the director of college scouting.
I agree.
Dan knows that he's got a coach who has been pretty successful with quarterbacks. So he's good. You know, he obviously played a role on some level because he had to fork over the money to keep Kevin O'Connell around when teams were poking around at him this offseason and endorse ultimately him being elevated to offensive coordinator. So, you know, he knows that he's got these quarterback opinions in the building that he would trust. And ultimately, like, I think one of the best voices in this might honestly be Bill Callahan. Like, Bill Callahan was on Dallas's staff in 2014 when Johnny Manziel was on the board. And we all know Jerry Jones was itching to take Johnny Manziel. And lo and behold, when the Cowboys came on the board at 15 that year, Johnny was on the board and available. And you know what they did? They took Zach Martin, who's done nothing but make all pro teams since.
Correct.
And so I'm not saying they're going to take an offensive lineman over the quarterback, but it could be another position. And I think ultimately they will trust their process that the last 2 years has led to Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne over doing something willy-nilly trying to throw a Hail Mary, because Hail Marys don't work very often.
Ultimately, you certainly hope. You think that. I just worry about the desperation factor creeping in. And here's what I know. I don't know much about anything. When you're desperate, you make mistakes, and you do irrational things. Real quickly here, before we hit our first break of the afternoon, just updating you on a couple of games. We'll have a further update coming up in just a couple of minutes. But Auburn over New Mexico State, 30-29, Craig, near the end of the first half. And Minnesota is about to dispose of Louisville in the 10-7 matchup. I did pick Minnesota in this opening round matchup. I know you're not buying into the Richard Pitino revenge thing and storyline against Louisville because of Rick Pitino doing what he did to himself, but it is a storyline, certainly, especially if Minnesota puts this game away with 42 seconds left and a 9-point
lead. We're in
a
sports book, Chris. Let's ask this the proper way. Anybody on Minnesota in the money line? Excellent.
One guy
about to be a good start of the day for you. And also, who is getting sweaty because they've got LSU covering? Because all of a sudden, that game, LSU is only up 7. That line is, I believe, 5.5, or was it 6.5? You should know. It was 7. Okay, so right now we are on the number.
50.
Good time.
61-56, 54, 61.
So LSU right now is still comfortably, not too comfortably ahead, but in terms of the people in here who are invested, that is going to be a lot of fun over the next 20 minutes. We will have the man who helped set the lines with us next on set right here, Craig Hoffman and Chris Russell from the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino on Chad Dukes versus the World.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino, Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell, here on 106.7 The Fan. We are in for Chad today and happy to be joined at the table by the man who is in charge of this little area. This is your part of the world, Eric Zimney, who is the VP of Sports and Racing Operations here at Hollywood. Eric, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for coming out here today yourselves.
Yeah, thank you, Eric.
Absolutely, man. This is fun. So what is a day like this compare? Like, is there anything else on the sports calendar that compares to today and tomorrow?
As far as volume, as far as, like, constant volume, not really. Because, I mean, people think of the Super Bowl as a big wagering event, but it's one game, and, you know, you have your action spread out over the course of the week. With this, you've got games going on, starting matchups being created for 2 days from now. So it's really a constant flow of games. It's very unique.
And then, like, how does it flow throughout the tournament? Obviously, Thursday and Friday have the most action. There's the most games. How does that change into the weekend? Obviously, it's a weekend, so that changes the dynamic. And then into next week.
I think some of the mystique of the first two rounds might actually, you know, carry the day as far as attendance goes. But as you can imagine, I mean, it whittles down as the teams whittle down. We expect the weekend to be busy, but I would say Thursday and Friday here are probably going to be the two busiest days, as you can see. I mean, pretty good crowd here.
All right, so here's my question. Everybody says sports handicappers and the people that make the lines know everything. You set your lines here at Hollywood Casino, or do you get them imported from somewhere else? And if you set them, how do you guys go about determining what is a good line for Hollywood Casino Race and Sportsbook?
So the boring answer is we actually do not set them here.
Okay.
They're set in Las Vegas through William Hill,
okay,
who's our provider. And, you know, we take their lead on everything.
So when you see the numbers that they spit out, you're not of the thought, wait a second, I know more about Maryland, or I know more about Virginia Tech, meaning a local team with local interest, whatever team you might know more about, I'm going to change that line. You just abide by what William Hill says out of Vegas because, again, they're doing your lines, and you have no, I guess, buffer room, right?
No, exactly. I mean, look, they're the experts here. We trust them to set their lines. That's what we have them for. And you know, there's instances where local teams can go the other way. The first day we were open here, West Virginia was playing Tennessee, and the line kept going down. People kept betting Tennessee, and here that's not very good for us because people are going to bet West Virginia. So yeah, it can work both ways.
How have you, especially in college athletics, where you know there's so much. There's so many eyes on pro sports. You know, the lines have been kind of consistent, I think, over time. There's a thought that there used to be an inefficiency in the market, if you will, and some, especially the smaller college basketball games. Have you seen the consistency in the success rate, I guess, for the house increase on some of that stuff over the past, you know, and I know, you know, it's new, relatively new here, but as someone who's followed it, have you seen that increase, that change over the last decade?
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, like some of the sharp guys who we've seen win here a lot, they play those kind of conferences. And I don't necessarily think it's that the line's bad or anything like that. I mean, there's less info out there about those games, Ivy League being a prime example. And you'll get guys who specialize in just that. And you know, I don't know if the market's inefficient in a sense, but you can see guys take advantage of it a little bit. I mean, it's a slight edge.
In your role, again, you said you guys don't set the lines, but here you are facilitating the action whatever way people want to go. Are you guys rooting behind the scenes for certain things to happen, major upsets, or do you want chalk? Like, how does that kind of process go if you can kind of peel back the curtain a little bit?
Generally speaking, I mean, in the NFL especially, it's a very favorite and over-centric market. It's been that way for a long time. And you generally know at the end of Sunday how good you've done just based on who's won the games. Yep, it is kind of weird to have like one of my own teams that I root for in real life that, you know, if they win, it costs my employer like $250,000 or something like that, and I'm sitting here conflicted as to what I'm supposed to do. So that's
stay employed, Eric. That is always the correct answer.
Exactly.
That's interesting. I've always been fascinated, kind of, you know, again by the behind the scenes, peel the curtain back. So like when you obviously you guys have the lines, you have, you know, the over-unders, you have everything that you get set up for. What do you find people are betting on when it comes to the NCAA tournament the most? Are they money line? Are they point spread? Are they over-unders? Is there, a common denominator that people jump to more than anything?
So I can tell you anecdotally, I mean, I think you see a little bit more money line than you would see normally because you're always trying to catch the lightning in a bottle with that, you're trying to prove your own, you know, sharp handicapping, and you see that a little bit more in the regular season. It's fairly balanced, though. It's fairly balanced.
Eric Zimney, who is the VP of Sports and Racing Operations here at Hollywood Casino, with us on Chad Dukes versus the World. How would you, if like the end of the 4 o'clock window on, or sorry, the 1 o'clock window, so right about 4 o'clock on an NFL Sunday is at 10, right? What is like the constant? Obviously, that's concentrated to one moment. What is the atmosphere like here throughout the day today? And what in your experience of the NCAA tournament, it, like, what time is it going to peak? What point is this place going to get even more fun than it is right now as we start to get to the end of some of these games?
I would say probably before noon, it was big. Before the 7 o'clock games, after people are going to get off from work, it's going to be big. Tomorrow, a similar schedule. And then on Saturday, you're going to have a more steady stream of people throughout the day just because people aren't, you know, working. And the rain wasn't our friend today. It didn't really help. Yeah. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. So here we are in Charlestown, West Virginia, and you have this set up here, and I know you guys opened up roughly about a year ago, was it?
September 1, that was the grand opening.
Okay, actually, yeah, that's right, right. So it was after last NCAA tournament. So this is your first full NCAA tournament right here in this sports book. How much do you think the ability to do what you guys are doing here is going to rip into people, say, going to Vegas and doing the annual pilgrimage for either Super Bowl week or, again, the first 4 days of the tournament? I would have to think it's going to rip into it some, but then because you have the, I guess, illegal offshore gambling element of it, it just kind of maybe redistributes the money in the action, or no?
A little bit. I mean, I think Vegas is always going to be Vegas,
yeah,
to some extent. But, you know, trying to quantify how much of the black market we've recaptured here, it's really tough to say. I mean, this is so new. It's expanding throughout the country. And, I mean, there are people who are going to bet offshore. We'd hope that they would be a little bit more confident in a regulated market,
right,
where they know they're going to get paid versus having their money somewhere on an island in the middle of the Caribbean. You know, this is guaranteed to be on the up and up. So, you know, there's definitely new customers here who wouldn't have otherwise been here.
You guys obviously had the gambling, not just the casino, but the racing was already here. How does the sports betting change your life?
It's been a lot more busy the last 6 or 7 months, but it's really different from racing. I mean, you know, in the sports betting side, you'll see people come in and play one game for $25,000 and go home. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of Parimutuel wagering on racing. People,
right,
just don't do that. So it's a little bit of a different kind of customer. There's different needs of each business segment that are very different from each other. So it's not as similar as you'd think.
Eric Zimney with us here at Hollywood Casino in the Race and Sportsbook, Vice President of Sports and Racing Operations. So the odds that you guys get, again, from William Hill, they just constantly get updated, and you just go, what, back to a computer, and you just generate all the new information, update it so that everybody can bet, really, not only on what's ahead, but also what's going on, right? Because you're doing, in college basketball, do you guys do like first half and second half wagers and all that stuff? Or
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, all those boards, they auto-update based, right, on the money that comes into Vegas and how they're managing the risk. But not only first half, second half, there's in-play betting on all these games,
right,
where you can bet at any juncture of the game that they offer a price. I mean, there's a menu from start to finish, which is very different from how the sports betting market used to be 10 years ago.
I make the argument that this tournament specifically, more than even the NFL and the playoffs and each every individual game, college football Saturdays, this tournament exists in the epic state that it exists in, largely because of how easy it is to gamble both legally here, again, at the Race and Sports,
which is how you should absolutely do it here.
Absolutely.
At Hollywood,
but then also for the people that choose, for whatever reason, not to come to a Race and Sports book, just the bracket aspect and how easy it is to have a little bit of action. Do you think that this tournament would be, I guess, what it is if you didn't have what you guys do here, meaning just for the basketball alone?
No, I really don't. I mean, bracket pools, Jim Valvano, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, you know, those are the kind of people that you can thank, I think, for this tournament getting as big as it's been. There's always good storylines in this thing, but I don't think there's a person that I know who hasn't filled out an office,
right,
bracket pool. I mean, there's not, and it really brings it much more into the mainstream than it would be if you're watching Brown versus Dartmouth on Friday,
sure,
night.
Yeah. Yep. So we got some good stuff going down to the wire here. We got LSU and Yale, 6-point game with 90 seconds to go. The line is 6.5. So there are certainly people very interested in that. Florida State and Vermont nearing halftime. That is a close game. I'm actually on both sides of that. Got a little bit of a cover situation to back up a survivor pool.
I thought you were going
to
middle us for a second.
No. The survivor pool is not here. The Vermont covering the 8.5 is, so Hopefully I can double up. Only one of them will affect your bottom,
exactly,
line.
Well,
but
how about this? For my case, hopefully you don't hopefully Florida State wins and then they don't cover, okay? How about that?
Right, that's exactly what I need.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You can get what you want, and I can get what I want, because like a dummy, I don't know if you heard this, I picked Florida State to win the whole damn thing because I was looking for a sleeper that had a realistic shot.
Hey, look, they made it to the final of the ACC tournament, yeah. Right? I mean, they beat UVA handily, yeah. Who's a one seed and who's a highly rated team by metric. So look, people have made worse.
Do you think
picks.
I'm nuts, though? You don't think I'm nuts for going for FSU? I mean, the whole darn thing. Like, I have them beating, I think, Duke in the semifinal. If memory serves, that's the matchup that they would have to go through.
I played it like it was a pretty, soft and rational. Yeah, you're kind of nuts, man. That's out there.
By the way, what are you allowed to do and not do?
Nothing. I'm not allowed to wager here and on
can
this.
Can you fill out a bracket just for fun?
No, and I've never filled out a bracket just for fun
really?
in 19 years.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
So even when you're off, you're not allowed to wager here at all?
Right. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I figured you were not allowed to wager, but I know that in certain roles, obviously, like even just fill out a bracket front, so you just have one in your head and like, oh, I'm right. I was right on that one.
Yeah, like I
feel like that would help.
That
would help your percentage because I would just tell myself that I was right all the time.
I had UMBC. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. That would have been a fun moment right, too. Right. Had you guys been open last year? Is this something we should talk about here? This bracket challenge, is that something we can throw out?
It's already started. I'd love to. It already started once the games today kicked off. But no, I mean, there's plenty of games left today and tomorrow. People.
So is that the biggest thing right now? It's just the games as it's going. What are specifically? If people are coming out, they can expect everything they get at any sportsbook anywhere?
Absolutely. Good food, entertainment, a sportsbook that can cater to just about everybody's needs. If you come out in the next hour, Ralph Sampson's over there. So,
you're on the way.
If you're on the way. But, yeah, you'll get a very similar experience to Vegas here, I promise.
Not a bad guest to get on the first day of the NCAA tournament. Ralph Sampson.
You know what I heard? He's tall.
He's tall.
Very
he
tall.
Is big.
Eric Zimney.
He was very good in college basketball
was
as well.
Was very, very good. Decent NBA player for a while as well. Eric Zimney, appreciate you stopping by and appreciate you having us today.
Awesome. Thanks,
Thank you,
guys.
Eric. Thank appreciate
Eric.
It. Thanks
All
for
right,
having
we will
us.
Be back with either a lot of sad people or a lot of happy people, depending on how this Yale-LSU game finishes up. And we'll get back into some Redskins talk as well. Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell in for Dukes on the Fan. We've got drama. LSU, Yale going down to the wire, 76-71, as we are live at the Hollywood Sportsbook and Casino. Craig Hoffman, Chris Russell in for Chad Dukes on 106.7 The Fan. And since we are at the casino, we tell you this, even though it's like, oh, 6-point game, 12.7 seconds left, that's not down to the wire. It sure is if you've got action. On the 6.5 as Yale hits another three. I can't decide whether I'm more interested in the actual game or the line here because Yale keeps hitting threes and they might screw around and like send this thing to overtime or
right.
something.
Right. Well, yeah. And to your point, right, you have the game itself, which the kids care about, and then everyone else here probably cares about
the line.
I know
what matters in this
that's
room.
It, right, exactly. Unless you're a Yale graduate or an LSU guy, you care about that 6.5 number, and the fact is that Yale, if you had LSU minus the 6.5, you're not looking great right now with 7.9 seconds left, but if you had the Yale plus the 6.5, you're looking not great, but you're looking okay right now.
Yeah, so, all right, LSU just made two free throws. I know we can't do, like, strict play-by-play
Correct.
Or we get in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
But, and that'll do it pretty much. I guess it really, at this point, all it is the arithmetic.
So LSU
wins the game by five.
But
those who had Yale covering, mm-hmm. they celebrate as well.
Exactly.
And there are some people, surely, that were LSU fans and had Yale covering, and they hit the double. So good for you. Other games going on right now. Juan will have the full slate at the top of the hour in the update. Auburn up 45-37 on New Mexico State. That is a 5-12 game in the Midwest region. And in the West region, this game is close. This game I am in on both sides of. I can hit the double here, or I can just get royally screwed. I guess I can't get royally screwed. I got the hedge. Vermont is tied as we are now at halftime with Florida State, 27 all. As a Syracuse alum, I have bad history with Vermont in the tournament. They beat a really good Syracuse team. I want to say it was
that a 4-13?
matchup?
I believe it was a 4-13
I believe it was a 4-13 matchup. Who was the 2 seed way back
Vermont
that beat
covered,
Syracuse?
No, Vermont beat us straight up 1 year. That was right. It wasn't, oh, maybe not 08, but they beat us straight up 1 year, and that was bad, and I don't like thinking about it. So if Vermont cost me in this tournament, I'm just going to never go to that state, and I'm never going to eat maple syrup again.
This might have been like when you were a very, very young, but there was a 2015 upset of Syracuse,
I'm still,
right?
I'm still very, very young.
Yes, you are, but I'm talking about very, very young. There was a 2015, wasn't it Richmond? Or what? It was a school in Virginia. Do you remember that, Paige? I think it was a 2015 matchup back in the late 80s, somewhere in that range that Syracuse got upset, because I grew up rooting for Syracuse. I grew up having an affinity for Syracuse because my grandmother and my mom lived literally right across from the campus in Syracuse, 5 minutes from the campus. So I grew up with, again, this affinity. I remember just being crushed and heartbroken over that 2015 upset. I think it was Richmond, I want to say, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember that. The game that I'm thinking about is 2005. It was a 13-4 game in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hakeem Warwick with the triple-double you don't want, 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 turnovers for the Syracuse Orange, 2 years off a national title. Jerry McNamara, and this was an overtime game, by the way. Jerry McNamara, a putrid 4 of 18 in that game for 11 points. GMAC now an assistant coach for the Orange, who will play Baylor tonight in the 8-9 game. Winner of that game, presumably, assuming they win, gets Gonzaga. Do you have a game today that you are the most interested in, not necessarily financially, but from an actual basketball standpoint? Because I know most people are most interested in watching Duke for Zion, because he is the most watchable thing, arguably, in sports right now.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play until tomorrow.
Right, exactly. And here's what I would say, if you kind of just look at it, and again, me being me, I'm going to tell
That's you, all you can be, Chris.
That the most... The most interest I have, of course, is the game going on right now with Florida State. But I would say, if I'm looking at it right, for whatever reason, I think, and people might think I'm crazy, I think Northeastern has a chance to keep it interesting against Kansas.
Seven-point
favorites. I think Northeastern has a chance. And then the Florida-Nevada game at 6:55 from Des Moines, I think also is going to be a really good game to watch.
Yeah, that game, a 2.5-point spread. Nevada is favored the 7 seed over the 10. I am also, obviously, as we mentioned, I'm invested in the Florida State Vermont game, so I'm very interested in that one. Also interested in Purdue Old Dominion tonight for survivor pool reasons. But the game, like, just from a basketball standpoint, that I can't wait to watch is Murray State Marquette.
That should be a pretty good game.
You seen Ja Morant play?
No.
Dude, this kid.
I've heard about him.
Like, he's got the body and quickness of De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings, played at Kentucky a couple years ago, and, like, the vertical jump of Russell Westbrook. This kid is so freakishly athletic. He's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft, and he's a sophomore at Murray State. He can score. I heard Grant saying earlier they had Rob Dowster on from College Basketball Talk, and Dowster said he thinks he could score 50 against Marquette. This kid is so much fun to watch. That game from Hartford, Connecticut at the XL Center at 4:35 today. Marquette, the 5 seed, favored by just 3.5 over Ja Morant and Murray State. We are going to come back and talk Caps with the voice of the Washington Capitals on NBC Sports Washington, Joe Beninati, for his weekly spot. It's 3 o'clock on a Thursday, so that means whether Chad's here or not, it'll be Joe B. next on Chad Dukes versus the World.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.